Welcome, everybody. It's time once again for another episode of SLMA Radio. Brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. If it has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing, it probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Today, as always, we're privileged to have with us the Executive Director and Founder of the SLMA, the one and only Jim Overmeyer. Hey, Jim.
Thank you, Paul Roberts. Paul Roberts is our announcer for all things in the Funnel Radio channel. Today, we've got a frequent special guest today, Paul Peterson. He's the General Manager and Vice President of Goldmine. His career spans working with sales and marketing systems and processes, having developed, managed, and sold for companies including McDonald's Corporation, General Electric, Symantec, Allied Van Lines, and he now has 16 years a CRM background with Goldmine. Paul has been a frequent guest on SLMA and CRM Radio, and today he wants to discuss the frequent uses for a CRM program from the salesperson's perspective. Now, he's already commented in the past on, he's given us an interview on the five most important things he's found in business and life. He did a program, What Do You Do with a Naked Sales Lead? Took us down the pathway of marketing myths and ROI, how marketing's role is to follow the money, why CRM is not a settled science, and a few more programs. And our subject today is using CRM for fun and profit, how sales reps can use their CRM to hit quota. Now, Paul and I were talking a little earlier. CRM gets a bad rap sometimes, and it's usually for people speaking the loudest that aren't making quota. They're not making quota, so they start talking about, well, I've spent too much time on my CRM system, and yada, yada, yada. And the other sales rep sitting over in the corner is sitting there saying, I'm making quota, I'm using a CRM system, I have no complaints about it, and I'm happy. So Paul's here to talk about the happy salespeople today that like their CRM system. Paul?
Well, we see it a lot that salespeople don't like entering data. And I think some of that is the way companies have implemented CRM. They tend to focus on what they need from the company level and don't always build in the sort of things you need at the sales rep level. The other distinguishing factor, which you point out, people who are at quota are just typically very productive people, organized, and they'll learn how to use any tool at their disposal. Others will fight it a little bit. Early in my career, I used to get spreadsheets of people who bought our product through distribution. If you remember the old days of shrink wrap software and Egghead, and people would buy a five user box from CDW or ASAP or wherever it might may have been. I would scan those lists, and it was voluminous data, but I would scan them and I'd say, oh, there's a company I know. It was a real simple system, right? But it was basically a big database search. Find me companies I recognize, brands I recognize, or something in my territory. And then I would try to call that company and find out why they bought five and see if they could buy more. I just, would browse through that. And that was sort of the benefit to me of getting those reports wasn't the total at the bottom. It was all the line detail. So if you're not interested in that detail, using a CRM system is going to be, you're going to be painful.
So if the rep doesn't see the immediate benefit, you're right. When I see CRM installations, they talk a lot about the database. They talk about the reports. They talk about how to enter the information, how to find information, how to transfer things to other people. But they don't really talk about the number of hours it's going to save. They don't talk about how a sales rep can manage their territory and their business. They don't talk about their ability to see what's really on the horizon for them, or the fact that they won't really lose track of great prospects when they're ready to buy. They don't teach them all that. They very often just worry about what's good for the company. And
when Goldmine started, back in 1989, for most of the 90s, it was sales reps who were buying products like Goldmine and Act and a few others, right? They were buying them to be individually productive. They realized very quickly that if I had a database of all my contacts instead of the old card file of that we used to have, your current leads up at the front and you'd cycle them through the back if you didn't get a hold of them, right? Over time, it shifted to the company saw the benefit, as pointed out, right? So how do I integrate sales and marketing? A very valuable tool because marketing could do all that work. How do you get the leads over to sales, right? So CRM helped integrate those two very disparate departments. Sales forecast is a big one, especially if you're global or have multiple divisions. How do you manage all those spreadsheets, you know, to combine, right? So a CRM with forecasted sales and opportunities gives management the ability to get that look at what's going on out in the field. And then when it's tied with marketing, they can get closed loop, reporting, all incredibly, potent things for the company. But down at the sales rep level, they just view it as a lot of, busy work. And I think in most CRM companies, you get your leads in CRM, right? Now, today that maybe people take that for granted, but I remember used to get fax sheets and things of that sort. So I don't ever want to go back to the old days, but it offers some perspective that people take for granted that now, your leads are popping up in your CRM system. Hopefully, right? You're getting, I still see far too much use of email as opposed to an activity list of like, here are all your new leads for the day. I'm a list-driven person. We've talked about that. New leads that come into your website or that marketing has qualified, that's a great list to have. And so that's the first thing I do in the morning is check that list, look at any new leads that have been assigned to me. Now, I'm a manager, so I don't get as many as my team, but that's where I've got my team. Get through that list early. That's where your money is. Get the calls in, and then do your administrative stuff later in the day or make the optional calls later in the day. But try to get to those leads first thing in the morning, especially as your prospects are hitting their desks too.
So from the corporate viewpoint, they look at it as a central repository of information. I think you used the term corporate memory in the past, right? Marketing list, forecast, workflow. But what about the sales rep? Let's get down to what's in it really for them to use this system.
This presumes that your CRM has been set up. It's been somewhat tailored to the business to ideally get the sales reps leads. That's the first thing. And I think most companies want to do that, right? So what I sort of came up with, or what I look at CRM helping the sales rep as a sales professional, I call it the three builds. You want to build rapport with whoever you're about to talk to. You want to build trust so that after that chat, the customer has some evidence of how you work. I believe that's important in sales. And then you want to build your book of business. So what can I do other than just respond to things that are presented to me, right? So build rapport, build trust, and build your book of business. Those are the three B's.
So expand on the build rapport portion.
What I like to do, whether if I get a phone call, I'll quickly type in the person's last name, try to get their name and or company and look them up. If I get a new lead, I call it scanning the record. So get on that contact and or account record, whatever it is, and scan it. Now, what I mean by that is little things like, is it Bob? Is it Robert? What's the title? Where are they located? Are there some custom fields that your company's put in there that indicates they're a government customer? Or, just scan that record real quickly to see what's going on. And then I typically look for, when was the last time we interacted with them? So that hopefully means that people are recording. So this is why you record your history. This is why you record when they visited the website. So I can look at it and say, is this somebody who just hit my website today and now they're calling me? Could be an indication of somebody very urgent to get some information, right? Could be a good buying sign. Or I looked at one this morning, hadn't heard from this person since 2015. Now I know, it's like, wonder what they've been doing. But I knew that they were running an older version of our product, obviously. And so it was time to catch up. Or in, specifically, if I noticed you're a new visitor to the website. So if you go to Goldmine and fill in a form for us, it will tell me that you viewed a video or that you requested a call or that you downloaded a white paper. So I have something to connect your phone call to your past business. And I think there's a marketing term for when you get that disruption. Hey, I'd like to buy a record, but I'm not near a record store. Now I have to remember that until I get there, right? There's a disruption between your thought and desire and need identification and when you fulfill it. So I like to connect the user to what something they did. Oh, I last saw that you were talking to Kevin on my team. What can I do to help, right? It helps you establish that bridge. And so rather than trying to warm up to somebody talking about the weather or, hey, I see you're in Green Bay. What about those Packers, right? You know what I mean? That's kind of a phony force thing. But if you talk about what the user did, it lets you pick up the thread is what I call it. So that's where I say, I see you visited the website. Or by scanning the record, some of the activities, I see you called my support department and you're aware of what's going on. I look for forecasted sales just to see, is there something pending that my team is working on when somebody calls, so that Because if there's a support issue, you may not be able to sell to them until you get them out of that. If there's a forecasted sale, you may want to realize that this is a continuation of that sale. And is it your sale or is it colleagues? You want to look for buying signs or signs of trouble that the customer is unhappy or whatnot. So that's what I call scanning the record and then kind of connecting the dots between what I see on the record real quickly in terms of what I think the account position is, and then using that as a branch to talk to the customer about what can I do to help them next based on that.
Well, everybody likes to be remembered, right? I was with my cousin in Las Vegas a month ago, and he had this restaurant that he used to go into all the time, and he hadn't been there for 3 or 4 or 5 months. And we went into the restaurant, and they immediately, as we walked through the door, they said, "Hello, Mr. Campanelli. Good evening, Karen. And we'll have your normal table upstairs overlooking the balcony. Is that okay? And oh, by the way, your regular server has taken over a business, one of our businesses in another city, so we've got a new one for you." I mean, I was stunned. He hadn't been in for 3 months. They must have had 5,000 customers come through that restaurant, and they remembered Campanelli when he walked through the door.
Yeah, I'll speak to somebody now. I've been with Goldmine, actually, it'll be 19 years here in June. A customer will say, "Oh, I remember speaking to you, or I remember your voice." It makes you feel great. One of the greatest stories, and it was kind of made up, was I was in New York City, staying in Times Square. I took a client of mine to a steakhouse called Broadway Joe's. I think it's on 43rd Street or something. But we walked into the restaurant, and I've never met the maitre d' before. He obviously knew the reservation. He walked up and said, "Mr. Peterson, welcome. Let me get you to your table." And my client was like, "Wow." Hearing your name, it just catches you off guard and you immediately warm up. That's that kind of rapport thing. If I can identify something that the client did that shows that I know a little, you don't want to be creepy, right? But it shows that, hey, I know how you've interacted with our company, that something's going on, and I can start to step through that with the client.
Well, there's a big difference between the client calling you and then you calling him back and say, "Hi, Jim, what is it you wanted?"
Right.
And I know we talked a couple of years ago, and I think you've got installed product, versus that comment of, "You know, Jim, it's been since December 15th since we talked, but I've seen your record, and I know you still have one of our earlier versions, and you were talking to customer service a couple of weeks ago, and you've been on our website several times." And people feel they expect to be connected today. They expect to be recognized. Yep. Today. Nobody expects to be anonymous, more so than ever before. So I hadn't really thought about how CRM systems build that rapport, but certainly the information is there in the record to do that if the rep chooses to use it.
I was speaking to somebody today. She was new to the company, but I said, "Well, how's your boss, Robin, doing?" And picked up so now sort of brought her into the fold, because I had the record up on Goldmine real quickly. I could see who she last worked with. She goes, "Oh, Doug, that was his name," right? I was able to give that to her. So right away, because all that, those little bits were in front of me in CRM, I could feed her back information about her own company that she didn't know. And
all things being equal, they buy from people they know, and all things being unequal, they buy from people they know. So your ability to know something about them makes a big deal.
One last thought, and that was that for salespeople who are very anxious to qualify a lead, it's the death by 1,000 cuts kind of thing, that people keep requalifying every lead. Whereas in CRM, if you've got 5 qualifying questions and 3 are filled out, don't ask for the first 3. You might want to confirm them. Move on to getting the data for the 4th and 5th, right? Right. You don't have to start all over. I could see you spoke to Kevin, and you were talking about buying a CRM system in June. Great. Is that still true? And what's next on your list, right? So from a salesperson qualifying, don't repeat every question, right? Try to build on the bits of information you have. And that also helps build rapport, because the customer realizes, I don't have to re-explain this just because I'm talking to a new person.
What about building trust?
Every sales situation, I always remember Rackham and spin selling and mastering the major account sale, and that was always look for that advance, right? What's the next thing we can do? Am I going to talk to you after you've read my proposal, or am I going to set up a visit? What are we going to do next so that you're advancing the sale and not staying static, right? So the idea is that after every phone call, you're thinking about what do I want to do next based on the, what the person has just asked you to do, and make sure I can take care of that reliably. So is it, I'm going to send you an email with additional information. I'm going to have my colleague call you to go over the technical aspects, or we're going to meet, we're going to talk next Tuesday, you know, at 9 a.m., whatever those things are, get that recorded so that it's on your list and your list of things. And I am amazed at how many people will comment to me about, oh my gosh, I got that within minutes of our phone call. Boy, I just registered at the website and you're calling me, you know, a couple of minutes later, right? Fast response, timely response is still a differentiator today. Too many sales reps wait, I'll do it later, as opposed to do it right now. And so I call that building trust, because what you're doing now is you're telling the customer, great, well, based on this, I'm going to recommend I do this or that, or you've asked for this, and then you need to fulfill it. Now, if you're doing that all day, it gets hard, right? Unless you have a list of tasks, you know, or in CRMs, you should be able to set that follow-up right away and say, whether it's a task or an assignment for somebody else. These are all things I know I can do easily in Goldmine. I haven't viewed all CRMs, but the idea should be, I have a technical guy. I don't pretend to answer the technical questions, but I'll get them. And then I'll get my technical assistant to help. Right, but I'll schedule a task in the CRM so that he sees it. It can be set to even alert them, like call today, you know, whatever. So the idea is to, whatever the next steps are, that you put them in a place where you're going to be. It's not haphazard. You're setting the expectation and then you deliver. And I think that exhibits your ability to follow through to a prospect or a customer that you're interested, that you do what you say. And I think those things carry over when it comes time to negotiate, or when you gets time to talk about why you shouldn't go with the competitor's product. I think then they have some basis to judge who you are. Does that make sense?
This trust is really based on your ability to quickly, as you say, either respond to the task or set the follow-up tasks and calls. And that can all be done in the CRM system. So it takes it off my the pressure for me to remember when I'm supposed to do this stuff.
Right.
And then set the activity lists or calendars, et cetera. And then you're saying respond quickly. I mean, as Andy Paul talks about in his book, Zero Time Selling, people expect to get information right away. If you say, well, I'll put you in touch with our systems engineer, 90% of them expect somebody to reach out to them that day. If not solve the problem that day. If they want a quote, they very often expect the quote that day, not a week from now, not 2 weeks from now when they're cool and they've forgotten you. They expect to happen now. And that all comes back from the trust. Every time you do one of these things, you're saying you're building trust that you're someone that can be relied upon to deliver what they need.
Right. And the other piece is that they're thinking about you right now, getting your follow-up message or your quote to them in that same envelope, right? If they wait a day or two, now they've got to start rethinking about you. But once again, if it says, well, based on this information, it's going to take me a day to pull that together, as long as you're honest about the, but then meet that, right? Then I think you're okay and the client can expect it. But otherwise, yeah, move things along as quickly as possible while they're thinking about you. And I still believe it's a differentiator. Not all people, not all sales reps follow through like that.
Well, it's a given fact that the customer's needs has a tendency to cool in their mind the longer it takes for somebody to respond.
Absolutely.
It takes them too long, and especially if they miss the date. I need some repairs in my house. The guy showed up, a neighbor. He's got a big company. He showed up the next date. And looked at it and he said, I'll have a bid for you on Friday. That was 8 weeks ago. I've already given the bid to somebody else for a $10,000 job. And my neighbor keeps saying, tell Jim, I'm going to stop by and do that. Well, guess what? He lost a $10,000 job. And when he asks me, I'm going to tell him, you didn't follow through and I can't trust you.
And then salespeople will complain about, oh, they didn't even give me a chance or whatever. But that's exactly the kind of experience that, from a sales perspective, you know, you don't understand. You know, you can't sell if you're not responding. So it's just a very curious thing that you get busy, you're responding to other fires burning, but when there's a new lead, uh, I I occasionally have to approve a discount for my team. I give them a fairly liberal, you know, bit, but I like to not so much say no, but as to understand what we're getting out of the deal. I always believe discounts should be a quid pro quo, right? I'll give something off if I get a bigger order than I expected, or we get it sooner. So all those things, and it helps kind of keep me real. Well, sometimes I'll get them at after hours. My UK rep will send it to me, or sometimes I'll get it and I'll be in the middle of something. I respond incredibly quickly, and I've told my team, if I don't respond in the time you need, text me and let me know right away, and I'll review it and do that. To keep them going as well, right? I don't like my things on my side to slow them down. We implemented a mobile quote system for our internal use of Goldmine, where if I'm out in the field, it doesn't have all the functions of the quoting software, but it has the most important one, which is I can view the quote, I can look at any notes, and I can approve it while I'm remote. So that's a benefit to me as a manager, because now I'm helping my team. My team who wants to get this out and try to get the sale done, right? So that's a benefit to them. So we implemented that. My company didn't give it to us. We implemented it on our own, because that made a huge difference for how my creating urgency for the customer's business.
There's no doubt that CRM systems properly used for the benefit of the sales rep always benefits the sales rep in helping them make quota, which brings us to your third item here, the build the book. I think that's the term you use, build your territory, build the book.
On a daily basis, you should be responding to new leads that are in the system. First thing, right? Get that going. Then there are usually some follow-up items that you have to make. Now, most salespeople, they'll remember the active deals, and they may have a personal list, but how do you start to dig below, you know, the tip of the iceberg, as they say? So you've got all these names in your database or your territory. Are you calling them, right? Are you looking for people that you haven't heard from in 90 days that bought from you once, or customers that we take for granted, which is one of the reasons the CRM existed, right? They said, oh, the average business loses 50% of their customers over 5 years, was the the loyalty effect. And the idea was that customers were taken for granted. I always said, well, calling up customers can be dangerous because you get into customer service. But what if you could categorize your customers in your CRM, give them some level? I think Peppers and Rogers call it most growable customers. So let's say you have a customer. They're one of your biggest customers. Of course, it's obvious you're going to follow up on them. And if they call in, you know who they are. But what about those anonymous customers whose names you may not recognize because they're not a national brand? They've bought from you once or twice, but maybe you haven't heard from them. The question is, could they buy more? Could they be a growable account? And unless you're talking with those people about their total need for your category of products and services, you don't know how much of their business you're getting. So that's the first thing, is find some way to identify growable customers. One example I use to help is you a fisherman, Jim? You ever fish?
Yeah, occasionally.
Right. So you get a nice walleye that's undersized. What do you do with it? You kiss it. You don't tag it, but you say, oh, I hope I'll see you next year. When you
kiss it, fall on the lips and throw it back in the water.
There you go. Out you go, and I hope I'll catch you again. Well, marketing is a lot like that. Leads come in. We talk to them. They're not ready to buy, and off they go, right? They go off into some sort of limbo. I like to talk about labeling them a future prospect. So here's somebody you've talked to. They could buy your products and services, just aren't ready now for whatever reason. How do I keep in touch with those, right? So a CRM system, by having follow-up lists, maybe a little code, we call them future prospects, that says, I'm going to try to talk to those people, not rely on them to call me back, but I'm going to try to reach out to them and say, hey, we'd said let's touch base in 2 months. You know, here we are. So you have a book of business that says, these are these future prospects, people that I'm going to keep track of. I'd like marketing to keep marketing them, but I've already gotten some information. So I know they're A prospects. I just need to work on their urgency or their timing. I need to think about something that will bring them to the table. So I think that future prospects angle is, salespeople move very quickly from, you're not ready to buy now, great, I'm going to put you over here in this pile, and then they never get back to that pile. Your CRM system, by letting you set a follow-up, maybe it's agreed upon with the client, or you just say, hey, it sounds like I'll call them before year end, before their lease is up or something like that. And then you have future prospects to follow up on.
These lists are also thought of as nurture lists and future prospects. I like future prospects even better than nurture lists, but.
Yeah, well, yeah, nurture lists, which Mark, but that's that drip campaign where you're trying to create the urgency, right? And so mine's a little bit different. Drip marketing is still applicable. It's that the salesperson has already talked to them. So we use drip marketing. If you download a white paper, you may not have expressed interest in my product yet, right? So we'll try to entice you to come to a webinar or a little product announcement and hopefully convert you, right? A salesperson who spent time on the phone with somebody, establishing some rapport, collecting some information, learning about it, should then be thinking about this. This is a great way to build your pipeline because not every deal is this quarter. Some deals will be in 2 quarters. So that's a great way to set an account up. Be honest with yourself and say, they could buy from me in 6 months. I need to make sure I call them so that if that deal happens in 6 months, I'm there. Right? So it starts to build your pipeline over time, which is a very, very hard thing for many salespeople to do because you're so reactive to what's going on right now.
Very interesting. Yeah, I like the way you take a little bit different approaching it from the sales rep's perspective on these three builds. Thank you, Paul. We've been speaking with Paul Peterson, the General Manager and Vice President of Goldmine Software. He's tackled the subject using CRM for fun and profit and how sales reps can use their CRM to hit quota. Paul has hit the three B's, he calls them, the building rapport, building trust, and building your book of business. He did a great job today, and we look forward to Paul coming back and sharing more of his wisdom in the future.
We know you rely on your CRM system, and it's usually a love-hate relationship. Most CRM systems, well, let's face it, they're expensive. They're hard to understand. People don't use them properly. And you're probably paying for features that you don't even want. If that's your case, then maybe it's time to simplify. It's time to get more from your CRM. Why don't you go back to the original? Trust Goldmine. We helped pioneer the industry, after all. Goldmine CRM is, well, it's simple, it's affordable, and it's proven. If all those sound appealing to you, if you're just tired of the CRM headaches that you're getting from trying to implement something that's just too complicated, too expensive, and too much for you to figure out, then why not go back to the original? Visit Goldmine today, goldmine.com. You've been listening to another episode of SLMA Radio, brought to you on behalf of the thousands and thousands of members of the Sales Lead Management Association. That has to do with sales lead management or sales lead marketing. It probably starts here with the SLMA Radio Show. Part of the ever-growing list of programs on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.